and Xingzhu in perfect detail. I can bring it all back inside my head, every pathway, every animal. We lived in the chief veterinary surgeon's official residence inside the grounds. All the zoo workers knew me, and they let me go anywhere I wanted, even on holidays when the zoo was closed.
Nutmeg closed her eyes to bring back the scene inside her mind. I waited without speaking for her to continue her story.
Still, I can't be sure if the zoo, as I recall it, was really like that. How can I put it? I sometimes feel that it's too vivid, if you know what I mean. And when I start having thoughts like this, the more I think about it, the less I can tell how much of the vividness is real and how much of it my imagination has invented. I feel as if I've wandered into a labyrinth. Has that ever happened to you?
It had not. Do you know if the zoo is still there in Xinqing? I asked.
I wonder,
said Nutmeg, touching the end of her earring.
I heard that the place was closed down after the war, but I have no idea if it's still closed.
For a very long time, Nutmeg Akasaka was the only person in the world that I could talk to. We would meet once or twice a week and talk to each other across the table at the restaurant. After we had met several times like that, I discovered that she was an extremely accomplished listener. She was quick on the uptake, and she knew how to direct the flow of the story by means of skillful questions and responses. So as to avoid upsetting her in any way, I always took great care whenever we met to see that my outfit was neat and clean and well chosen. I would put on a shirt fresh from the cleaners and choose the tie that best matched it. My shoes were always shined and spotless. The first thing she would do when she saw me was examine me from top to bottom, with the eyes of a chef choosing vegetables. If anything displeased her, she would take me straight to a shop and buy me the proper article of clothing. If possible, she would have me change into it then and there. When it came to clothing, she would accept nothing less than perfection. As a result, my wardrobe began to fill up. Slowly but steadily, new suits, new jackets, and new shirts invaded the territory that had once been occupied by Kumiko's skirts and dresses. Before long, the wardrobe was becoming cramped, and so I folded Kumiko's things, packed them in boxes with mothballs, and put them in a storage area. If she ever came back, I knew she would wonder what in the world had happened in her absence. I took a long time to explain, little by little, about Kumiko to Nutmeg, that I had to save her and bring her back here. She put her elbow on the table, propping her chin in her hand, and looked at me for a while.
So where is it that you're going to save Kumiko from? Does the place have a name or something?
I searched for the words in space, but they were not in space. Neither were they underground. Somewhere far away, I said. Nutmeg smiled.
It's like the magic flute, you know, Mozart? Using a magic flute and magic bells, they have to save a princess who's being held captive in a faraway castle. I love that opera. I don't know how many times I've seen it. I know the lines by heart. As the birdcatcher, I am known by young and old through the land. Ever seen it?
I shook my head. I had never seen it.
In the opera, the prince and the birdcatcher, Papageno, are led to the castle by three children riding on a cloud. But what's really happening is a battle between the land of day and the land of night. The land of night is trying to recapture the princess from the land of day. Halfway through the opera, the heroes can't tell any longer which side is right, who is being held captive and who is not. Of course, at the end, the prince gets the princess, Papageno gets Papagena, and the villains fall into hell.
Nutmeg ran her finger along the rim of her glass.
Anyhow, at this point, you don't have a birdcatcher or a magic flute or bells.
But I do have a well, I said. Whenever I grew tired of talking, or was unable to go on telling my story because I lacked the words I needed, Nutmeg would give me a rest by talking about her own early life, and her stories turned out to be far more lengthy and convoluted than mine. And also, unlike me, she would impose no order on her stories, but would leap from topic to topic as her feelings dictated. Without explanation, she would reverse chronological order or introduce as a major character someone she had never mentioned before. In order to know which period of her life the fragment that she was